Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome to the Healing School. I am Dr. Valeria Avery and I'm so excited about being here this morning and so excited about the Healing School. The purpose of our Healing School is to teach people what the Bible has to say about healing. And why do we want to do that? So that we can walk in the divine help of God that has been provided through the shed blood of Jesus, through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the Word. Father, we praise you, and we thank you for this time. We thank you for your Word, God, for your Word is already anointed. And I thank you, Father, for your anointing resting upon me, that I might speak forth your word with a boldness and an accuracy, and that your word will go deep within our hearts, and that your word will bring forth fruit to the honor and to the glory of God. Now, we do bind the enemy from his interfering or hindering in any way from the word going forth or from the word being received in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, welcome again to the Healing School, and I am Dr. Valeria Avery here as your host of this program, of this school. And so what we want to do, we want to go back and review just a bit of what we covered in our first lesson. It was so powerful because in order for you to receive healing, in order for you to understand that it is God's will for us to walk in the divine health of God, it is God's will for us to be healed, then we must understand that it's not God trying to teach us something, as many people believe, because of something that they did, but healing was purchased for us already over 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to the cross and through his death, burial, and resurrection, through the 39 stripes upon his back, through the blood that he shed for us, then we have been healed. Glory to God. So then, just a matter of review, we look at the beginning over in Genesis and we see as God spoke forth the creation. In Genesis 1 and verse 5, that the scripture says, and the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God moved upon the deep. And then we find God stepping on the scene saying something. And God said, light be, and boom, light was. And he called forth the fish of the sea, the grass, the other animals and so forth. He spoke them forth and they were. The Holy Spirit, the creative force of God, and we must remember that that's important for us to understand. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, is the creative force of God. And what's so wonderful about it is that this is his dispensation now. He is here with us. When Jesus went back to the Father after his death, burial, and resurrection, he sent the Spirit of God into the earth as our helper. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have God on the scene in the person of the Spirit of the living God, who is our helper and who responds to the word, the spoken word of God. As we speak forth the word of God in faith, the creative force of God goes to work on our behalf. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So then, as we continue to review here, we find that in verse 26 of Genesis 1:1, we find that, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. Listen to that. We're to have dominion. God has given us dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over the all upon the earth. We were made in God's image. And note this, God is not sick, nor does he have sickness. Hallelujah. We also found out as we continue to review that when God made man in his image, he said it was very good. That next verse there, and let me just flip over to Genesis 1 and read that. Verse 26 said, again, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Who did he create? Male and female. He didn't create two males. He didn't create two females. He created male and female. Hallelujah. And God blessed them. And God said, this is verse 28 of Genesis 1. Verse 28 says, and God blessed them. He blessed the man and the woman. Hallelujah. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Subdue it. Glory to God. You got dominion and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Notice, God said it was very good. He made man. Man didn't have sickness nor disease. He was made very good. Not just good, very good. Hallelujah. And God gave him dominion. And so the point of the matter is, man was never made to die. Man was never made to have sickness and disease. That was not a part of God's plan. But man made a choice to disobey God when God gave them instructions about the trees, when he put them in the garden and he gave them instructions about the trees that they were to eat of. They were free to eat of every tree with the exception of one. And God said, do not eat of this tree. And if you do, if you even touch it, if you do, you will surely die. And, of course, Satan came in through the snake and enticed and tempted Eve. And, of course, Adam was right there. God had given him the instruction. They partook of the fruit and did eat, and immediately they died spiritually, meaning that they were their spirit. See, we are made in God's image. God is a spirit. He's a speaking spirit. We were made also in his image. We are speaking spirits also. But when Adam was made, his spirit and God's spirit were the same. They were connected. They fellowshiped together. They worshiped together. But when man disobeyed God, his spirit died. They died spiritually. And spiritual death was passed to every human being born from that point even until now. But God did not scratch his head. He sent Jesus on the scene. Jesus is our Redeemer. He came, lived on this earth, a sinless life, a man born without sin. Jesus did not have, he's the only person that was born without a sin nature. How can I say that? Because the blood of the Father, when people are born in the earth today, the blood of the Father is passed to the child. Well, see, Jesus had sinless blood. How is that so? Because the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she became impregnated by the Spirit of God. The Word of God was impregnated in her, hallelujah, and she bore Jesus. A man, Christ Jesus, born without a sin nature. Jesus had pure blood from God himself. In fact, Jesus is God incarnated. God placed himself in an earthen vessel to redeem man from his sin, to get man back, hallelujah. So again, as we continue to review, so when Adam sinned and was separated from God, his spirit died, and that sin nature was passed to every person born from that point. So then, here we are. At that point, Adam began to die. Sickness and disease came into the earth. The earth system was given over to Satan the moment they disobeyed God. And when the earth system was given over to Satan, all of the sickness and disease, all of the corruption, all of the evil things that go on in the world today, those things came forth. The storm. So many people, you know, when a storm comes and destroys people, they say it was an act of God. That's not so. That is not so. That corruption, that disturbance, all of those things came into the earth system by the fall of man, by the sin that Adam. And so therefore, again, to put things right, to bring man back into relationship with God, God sent his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. So God provided healing for man. He provided healing for our body. Hallelujah. Jesus came into the earth, and he demonstrated what God is like. He demonstrated what God's will is. In fact, this Bible that you hold is God's spoken word to us. Demonstrates within this Bible you find the will of God. And so Jesus said, and he put it like this in John 10:10. He said, "The thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Satan and the attacks of Satan, they are come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, right following that, in John 10:10, the latter part, says, "But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus is our way to life. In fact, in John 14, Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Hallelujah. So Jesus is our way to life. Jesus prepared the way to health and life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we find scriptures that point us to the fact that it is God's will to heal. And let's begin to look at that. Jesus says, I only do what I see my Father do. And let's look at a couple of passages where people were healed. And then we'll move on to looking at how we can have confidence in the fact that it is God's will to heal. See, sickness and disease in this day and time is rampant, and they come up with new things every day. And so we have to know that it doesn't matter what they come up with. It doesn't matter whether it's something new. It doesn't matter, you know, at all. But Jesus has already paid the price. The scriptures say over in Deuteronomy, not just for those written in the book, but for all sickness and disease that may come, might come upon man. Anything that they can come up with, Jesus has already settled the issue. He's already settled the issue. He's already paid the price. His blood paid the price. Jesus sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat that cries out for us daily. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Oh, hallelujah. Great is his faithfulness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's look at a couple of accounts. We're going to look in Matthew 8, and we're going to begin at verse 1. Jesus is talking about, Jesus said it demonstrates Jesus' healing, and it also demonstrates the will of God. Beginning at verse 1, this is Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. It says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Let's look at that same passage in the Amplified version, Matthew 8, beginning at verse 1. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great throngs followed him. And behold, a leper came up to him, and prostrating himself, worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you are able to cleanse me by cursing, to cleanse me by curing me. And he reached out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed by being cured. And instantly his leprosy was cured and cleansed. Notice, apparently this leper had heard that Jesus was going about teaching and preaching and healing the sick. And so he heard that he was in the area, and he went to him. And notice, you know, the King James says, if thy will, in other words, if you want to, I know you can do it. If thy will, thou canst make me clean. The Amplified says, if you are willing, you are able to cleanse me by curing me. That leper had heard that he was healing folks, but he didn't know whether it was his will to heal him. So many people find themselves in that same position today. But Jesus, through his demonstration of the power of God as he walked on this earth, he demonstrated the will of the Father. Jesus said to this leper, he said, "I will," in the King James. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. The Amplified said, "And he reached out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing. Be cleansed by being cured.' And instantly the leprosy was cured and cleansed." Now, notice, Jesus said, "I don't do anything but what I hear my Father say or see my Father do." Right here, if he had never healed anybody else and he healed one person, God is not a respecter of persons. And so he would have a right to be healed. So he's demonstrating the Father. It is his will to heal. And so here, this man came. He knew Jesus could heal because he'd heard about it. And so he just came and worshiped. He bowed down, prostrated himself. See, if we would just worship God and call on his name, see, one of his redemptive names is Jehovah Rapha, thy healer, my healer, the Lord that healeth thee. That's one of his names. Jesus said he would do whatever you ask the Father in my name. And that the Father, that he would give you whatever you ask, that the Father may be glorified. See, when people were healed back in the day, Jesus was going about teaching and preaching and healing, the people glorified God when they were healed. People are not glorifying God to remain in sickness. They glorify God for the healing. And so we see in this passage, Jesus said, "I am willing." So we can't question that. He's demonstrating the Father. God sent Jesus. In fact, over in Psalms 107:20, he says, "I sent my word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction." Jesus is that word of God. And Jesus is the healer. The word of God is the healer. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Jesus said, "I am willing." Hallelujah. So all you got to do is come to him. All you got to do is believe that he will heal you. Believe that he is healing today. See, so many people say healing passed away. But God never gives you something and takes it away. Jesus pays that price. The word of God is alive. And it's doing the same thing that it did back in the day. He's doing the same thing now. The Bible says he doesn't change. Hallelujah. God doesn't change. The word of God says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says I don't change. So if he was healing then, he's healing now. If he healed back then, he will heal now. You have to know that it is not God that's putting the sickness and disease on you, but it is the enemy, the devil, that's trying to kill you and take you out. So you have to stand up and say, "Jesus took sickness and disease. Therefore, I'm kicking you out of my body. Get out in the name of Jesus." Speak that word over your body. Command your body to be healed in Jesus' name. Just speak, "Body, be healed. Blood pressure problems, go for me in Jesus' name. Cancer, go for me in Jesus' name. Lupus, go for me in Jesus' name. High blood pressure, go for me in Jesus' name. Heart problems, go for me in Jesus' name. Diabetes, go for me in Jesus' name." Speak your health and healing. That's what you have to do. We are speaking spirit. When God said, light be, boom, it was. The Holy Spirit was there. The creative force of God was there. Now, I tell you this, the creative force of God is here today. Jesus went to the Father. He said, I must go and that I might send the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is that paraclete, that one called alongside to help us. God sent us a helper. We must use our helper. We must commune with our helper. Hallelujah. We must submit to the ministry of the Holy Spirit so that he can help us. He is our helper, our counselor, our standby, our strengthener. Hallelujah. He is here to help us in whatever the situation and whatever the circumstances are. As we submit to the word of God, submit to the word, the Bible says, and resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. So therefore, you have a job to do. That is to find out what God has said about healing and speak it forth and see the hand of God move in your life. So then, let's look further. I want to read one more account of Jesus' healing, and this one follows in Matthew the cleansing of the leper, and it is the centurion's servant that was healed. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant at home, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him again, showing his willingness to come, showing his willingness to heal. He said, I will come and heal him. Hallelujah. Again, Jesus is demonstrating the Father. He's demonstrating the will of God to heal. But listen to this. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Listen to that faith. In fact, Jesus said, we'll read on down and then come back and talk. For I am under authority, verse 9, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Notice, because that man said, you know, he believed, he'd heard about Jesus' healing, but he understood something about authority, and he understood that when you have authority over a particular area or over something, you can say, do this. You can say, do that. And whoever's under your authority must obey. And so he understood that Jesus was going about healing, teaching and preaching and healing the sick, and that sickness was under authority, and that when Jesus spoke to the sickness, it had to go. So he said, I'm a man under authority. All you got to do is speak the word. And so Jesus, listen. And so this is what Jesus said. And I say unto you, let's go back and read. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them, Father, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. See, this is what Jesus wants us to do. Speak the word and trust God to bring forth the answer. Speak the word and the Holy Spirit will respond as you are declaring God's word. In fact, the Bible says not only we have the Holy Spirit as our helper, we also have angels that are encamped about us, those born-again Christians. Angels of God are encamped about us to protect us in all of our ways. And over in Psalms 103, round about the 22nd verse, it says, these angels hearken to the voice of God's word. So when you speak forth God's word, the angels of God will get on it. In fact, people have had surgery by the angels of God. People have had kidneys restored. People have had even the heart restored. So you want to get God on the scene by speaking your word. The Spirit of God working on your behalf, the angels of God working on your behalf. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has provided healing for his people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is not God's will for sickness and disease to dwell in your body. He's already paid the price through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Hallelujah. Through the shed blood of Jesus, God has already paid the price over 2,000 years ago. We must then activate this healing power in our lives by declaring God's word over our lives. Isn't that wonderful? That is just wonderful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, let's look again as we, kind of recap some things that we have said. It is God's will to heal everybody. We want people to know and understand that it is God's will to heal everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And again, we have seen that in these two examples. And then I want to just reiterate Psalms 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. That's a promise of God. That's God saying, I have healed you. How did he heal us? By the word. Who is the word? Jesus. John, the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the verse 14 of that same chapter say, let's just turn over there. John 1, Gospel of John. Let's just look at it. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The Amplified says, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God himself. The Word was God himself. Down in verse 14 of this same chapter, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and the verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Amplified reads like this, and the word Christ became flesh, human incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us, and we actually saw his glory. His honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. Hallelujah. 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 That's the word of the living God. That's the word of the living God. Matthew 18:14 also confirms the word that it is God's will to heal. It says, even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. God doesn't want us to be taken out of here with sickness and disease. He wants us to live above. Remember, we taught that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And yes, sickness and disease are a part of this world system, but we live above it. We live above it. We have been redeemed. Our redemption means that Jesus took away the curse. Hallelujah. Therefore, sickness and disease is a part of the curse. I want you to know that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. So we have been redeemed from sickness and disease. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And just Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." And you can put your name in there. God doesn't change. I call my name. "For therefore I, Valeria, Dr. Avery, I am not consumed," because God doesn't change. He is my healer. He is my deliverer. I receive him as that. And see, you have to speak that forth in your life also. So then, as we move along here, looking at God's will to heal and looking at how God has made the provision, how he created us as speaking spirits just like himself, and how we have that same ability to speak for what God said about it and to allow us to walk in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 4:16-24 says, "Therefore it is a faith that it is that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed." Talking about the seed of Abraham. And we know that Galatians 3:13-14-29 lets us know that we are the seed of Abraham and we are heirs to the promise. It says, 13:14 says, "Curses everyone that hangeth upon the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles." And in verse 29, it says, "If ye be Christ," or if you are born again, "then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise." And healing is a promise. Divine health is a promise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And verse 17 here of Romans 4 says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father," talking about Abraham, "of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were." That's a principle of how to obtain healing, of how to God provided healing for us. We are to call those things that be not as though they were. You might say, "But there's a pain in my body." Has nothing to do with the fact, with the truth that God said, "By Jesus' stripes, you are healed." And as you continue to declare what God says over the situation, over that pain, over that sickness, over that disease, then your body must line up with the word of God. It is the word of God that brings about the healing. And so just like Abraham, and I'll read on down, it says in verse 19, it says, "Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, but he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb." See, God had told him that they were going to have a child. She had been barren all these years. She's about 90, he's near 100, you know, and beyond the childbearing age. But we serve a God that all things are possible with God. If you're with God, it doesn't matter what the sickness is. It doesn't matter whether they said you're supposed to die in 6 months. It doesn't matter. What matters is what God said. He said he would deliver you. He said that he would honor you. He said with long life he will satisfy you. So you have to know what he said about you so that you don't succumb to the attack of the enemy. You have, there's so many words concerning healing that they are promises of God. The you must embrace in order to walk in your divine health. So Abraham and his wife were beyond childbearing age. They were old. But God, see, nothing is ever impossible, and every word of God shall be manifested in your life. So in fact, I want to read that in Luke 1 so that I can say it exactly as it's written. Luke chapter 1, verse 37 is what it is. It says, "For with God nothing," and this is the Amplified Version, "For with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." So God's word came to Abraham and to his wife that you're going to be the father of many nations. And he was beyond childbearing age. She was also. And they hadn't had one child. Then they tried to do it themselves. See, don't get off in the error trying to do it yourself. God said that you are healed. So then you declare what God said about it. Then they tried to have a child without waiting on God. And then they had Ishmael. And Ishmael caused problems and still causes problems. But God said, no, but you will bring forth a child from your loins. And so, therefore, the word of God, as he continued to, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, meaning father of many nations. So he went about saying that. And as he said that, and as he said that, and as he said that, the Holy Spirit, the creative force of God, was working in Abraham's body and working in Sarah's body. He was working. He was creating. He was restoring, hallelujah, restoring their bodies as he continued to say what God said. Now, if he was not going to say what God said, and if he didn't believe God, then that would not have happened. But he believed God, and he continued to say what God said. And the Holy Spirit continues to work. See, he's teaching you something now. This is the way you do it. You got to say it. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. I don't care what the doctor said. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. God sent his word and he healed me and delivered me from destruction. Jesus himself took my infirmities and carried away sickness and disease. Glory to God. You have to keep saying that. You have to keep saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who heals all our diseases, who forgives all of our iniquities and heals all our diseases, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Hallelujah. Who redeems our life from destruction. You keep saying that. You keep saying that. You keep saying that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and him will I trust. Surely he has delivered me from the snare of the fowl and from the noise of pestilence. He has covered me with his feathers, and under his wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the destruction that walketh in darkness, nor of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that waiteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000. I don't care how many folks die with whatever that sickness is, but it shall not come nigh me. Only with mine eyes shall I see the reward of the wicked. Hallelujah. And it goes on and on. You must begin to say what God has said about you. You must believe that what God said is true. Abraham and Sarah at first didn't believe, but they began to believe as they continued to say what God said. And God caused them. As you continue to say the word, you're building yourself up in your spirit. As you speak the word of God, you're writing on the tablets of your heart. When you get the word in your heart in abundance, you can speak it out in faith, believing God, and see manifestation come in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what Abraham and Sarah did. It says here, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. he was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, since he was beyond the childbearing age, hoped in faith, hope in God's word. So you got to have hope in God's word. Hope is a pace setter. You have to desire the word of God to be manifested in your life. And as you continue to say, then faith comes as you get it in your heart in abundance. It says, hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised. So numerously shall your descendants be. Verse 19, he did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's dead womb. No unbelief or distrust made him waver. See, that's where we got to be. We've got to build ourselves up with the word of God so that even though the doctor said you can't live with this, even though the doctor said in 6 months you're going to be gone, God said long life. God said by Jesus' stripes you're healed. See, don't be moved and don't allow unbelief or don't allow distrust to enter in. Don't waver. See, a double-minded man, James over in James says, will not receive anything from God. You have to sell it. You have to look at what God said. You have to choose to believe what God said in the face of a sickness and disease, in the face of pain, in the face of what you see, hear, or feel. See, you have to move from the natural realm. You have to move from the five sense realm to the supernatural realm. In other words, with your eyes focused on God's word. You got to have your eyes focused on God's word. It said here, verse 20, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith. See, as you say what God said about you, that word empowers you. That word gives you strength. Hallelujah. The mighty Spirit of God can work in you, hallelujah, because you're speaking God's word. The Bible says he is our comforter. He is our helper. He is our strengthener. Let's just look at that over in the Gospel of John 14. Let's look at 14, chapter 14. And it says here, Jesus is talking in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. See, Jesus was the comforter while he was here. But see, because so many people are being won to Jesus, God needed to send the Spirit of God. There's no limit. The Spirit of God can minister to all of us at the same time. See, he is not limited. There's no limit in God. You cannot have too many people praying and asking God for anything. The Spirit of God is well able. Hallelujah. It says, the Amplified says like this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. That's wonderful. That's mighty. That's powerful. The third person of the Godhead is on the inside of us. Hallelujah. If you're born again. And the power of God, if you have received the Holy Spirit with the infilling of the Holy Spirit and evidence of speaking in other tongues, that's the manifestation of being empowered. Hallelujah. So you can be a witness for God. But at any rate, back to verse 20 and 21 of Romans 4. It says, no unbelief, we're talking about Abraham, our distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. Nothing did. He didn't matter what anybody said because, and he didn't matter, it didn't matter to him that he was near 100 years old, and he didn't allow the utter deadness of Sarah's womb to affect his belief in God. So he kept saying, I am the father of many nations, and Sarah is the mother. And so as they kept saying, then the Spirit of God, that standby, that helper, that strengthener, that advocate, you know, supported him, strengthened. Every time he said, he'd be strengthened. Every time you say the word of God, you are strengthened. Every time you declare the word of God over your life, you are strengthened. Every time you say the word of God, that sickness is being pushed out of your body. It has to go. The word of God is pushing it out. And so you must declare the word of God in the face, see, in the face of. And I want to pause here just for a second and say, I want to pray for you all. If you will call in, I'm going to give you the call-in number. It's 213-943-3746. I'm going to be praying for people. I'm going to be answering any questions that you might have concerning the teaching today. And so, again, 213-943-3746. I want you to call in. I want to answer your questions. I want to pray for you because the word of God is true. Jesus went about teaching and preaching and healing the sick. And that's what I'm doing today, teaching and preaching. And as I pray the prayer of faith, the Lord Jesus will raise you up. So we are his hands, we are his feet in this day and time. And so I want you to call in. I want to pray the prayer of faith over you so that the word of God will heal you. I heard one minister say, if you take the word of God long enough, it will heal you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's again, no unbelief or distrust made Abraham waver, doubtingly questioned concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered, gave praise and glory to God. Concerning your healing, you continue to praise and thank God that it is so, that it is done, that it is a done deal. Verse 21, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. Faith was credited to him as righteousness. His standing with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, so we have to become rooted and grounded in the word. We have to believe that God, it is God's will to heal. And so I want to give a few principles that I want you to jot down and to meditate on here. Principles, I call them principles of healing. You have to have these really meditate on this and get it in your spirit because that gives you that steadfastness that you need in order to be healed and to maintain. See, anytime you pray the prayer of faith, healing does come. But a lot of times people, you know, are healed, but then they go off and not thank God anymore that they are healed. And so they may lose their healing because the enemy will come back. If you don't fill that space up with the word, the enemy will come back. So you need to keep the word on healing going. If you've ever been attacked in your body with a sickness and disease, and the Lord heals you, don't just say rest in peace, amen, in terms of staying in the word. You need to keep healing scriptures You need to build yourself up and keep yourself built up with healing scriptures so that the enemy can't get back in that door that was open before. Hallelujah. So the first principle that I want you to jot down is that steadfast faith cannot operate in the presence of uncertainty concerning God's will to heal. Now, let's just pause right there. In order to receive healing, you must believe that it is the will of God to heal you. And we've gone over scripture after scripture, pointing you to the fact that it is God's will. And God is not a respecter of person. If he healed one, he will heal you too. And we pointed out the man with the leprosy and the centurion who was really praying for his servant. And Jesus demonstrated the will of the Father by healing them. And so steadfast faith cannot operate in the presence of uncertainty. You have to be certain that it is God's will to heal you. And the way you develop that certainty that it is God's will to heal you, you have to go to the Bible and read all the scriptures, you know, that relate to healing. Also read the scriptures we gave you that God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. God does not change. So if he was healing back in the day, he's healing today, you see. And you have to have that, develop that certainty in God. Also, you go to Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely he, talking about Jesus, has borne my griefs and carried my sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by his stripes, those 39 stripes that he took upon his back that represent every category of sickness and disease known to man, Jesus took whatever that sickness is that has tried to attach itself to your body. And so you have to know for surety, because God so loved the world, he gave his son. Jesus said, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You have to understand that bearing sickness and disease in your body is not abundant life. Divine health and healing is a part of the salvation package. While when you receive Jesus as your Lord, you receive spiritual health and also physical health. You were saved spiritually at the same time you were saved physically. Hallelujah. Asking Jesus to come into your life opens the door to spiritual health. Also opens the door for physical health. And you must believe that you got the whole package. You didn't get part of it. And so divine health is a part of the package. And you must understand that. So then steadfast faith cannot operate in the presence of uncertainty concerning God's will to heal. So we've given you a number of scriptures. There are many more in the Bible that point to the fact that it is God's will to heal. Why would God say, I sent my word and healed, past tense, you, and delivered you from destruction if he didn't do it? But we know God is true, and so his word is true, and every one of his righteous decrees endure forever. We know that God is faithful to his word. He is faithful to his word, so if you will embrace his word, then you will walk in your healing. If you will declare his word, then the Spirit of God can work on your behalf. The angel of God can work on your behalf to possess that healing that has already been purchased by the shed blood the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The next principle that I want you, and we won't get through all of them today, but I'm going to do one or two more. The next principle that I want you to write down is one must believe that God is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so to diligently seek God, that means you're going to get into this Bible and find out the scriptures, the verses that talk about healing and talk about God's will to heal. You're going to diligently search. When you come to God, because the doctor has said, given some diagnosis in your body, you're going to search the scriptures. See, sometimes we pray too fast. You need to search the scriptures, find out what the scriptures have to say, and then go to God in prayer. Once you find out what you're standing on, once you find the scriptures that say that it is God's will for you to be healed, then you're ready to pray now. And so then you pray that prayer of faith using the word of God. God has to honor his word. God doesn't honor anything but his word. And he is faithful to honor his word. The scriptures say that all the promises of God are yes and amen. See, that lets you know right there that it is God's will. You find that over in the Corinthians, and let's see if I can turn to it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's see here. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, all of the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. The Amplified reads it like this: for as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes answer in him or in Christ. For this reason, we also utter the amen, so be it, to God through him, in his person, and by his agency, to the glory of God. Notice, the promises of God are all yes and amen. And we've already read through several of them this morning. God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Isaiah 53:4-5, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So those are just a few. But notice, it gives us some instructions here. You find that word of God, but you have to say amen. Amen. I declare that so in my life. I say amen to that. The Bible says when you find that promise, you have to receive that promise and say amen to that. Say amen to that. By Jesus Christ, I am healed. Amen. So be it. I believe I receive it in my life. I believe I receive it just as God said in my life. You have to embrace it. See, that's a part of what you have to do. In this day and time, Jesus said he's seated at the right hand of the Father. To his enemies are made his footstool. Well, guess who's going to be doing the work here in the earth? That's us. We have to demonstrate Satan's defeat by declaring what God said about it. It's on us to operate the kingdom of God method here on this earth and see the word of God reign in our lives. Hallelujah. We have to utter the amen to God's word. We have to release the power of God in the earth today. We are his hands. We are his feet. We have to demonstrate that it is the will of God to heal. So when we find somebody that's attacking their body, or if, you know, some member of your family, or even you, then you go to the scriptures. You point out the scriptures. You believe and embrace those scriptures. You declare those scriptures. And so you put the amen to those scriptures, declaring that they are so in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then one last principle that we'll go into today. There are a number of other principles that we will share as we come back on another session. But one I want to speak for. So number three, the third principle that I want you to write down and I want you to meditate on is one must apply Mark 11:24 and believe when you pray. Let's turn to Mark 11:24 here. Mark 11:24. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Notice, these are some instructions. See, again, we have to be willing to find God's word on the subject, believe God's word on the subject, and obey God's word on the subject. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, what is it that you desire? Your body to be free from this sickness and disease? When you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have whatever it is you desire. You find those scriptures that say it is God's will to heal you, and you pray the prayer of faith, hallelujah, using those scriptures, glory to God. And believe when you pray, not when you see the lump go down, not when you see the pain go away, but believe when you pray that you are healed. When you pray, see, you are reaching in with that arm of faith. You believe when you pray that you are healed now. Has nothing to do with what you see, hear, or feel. Has nothing to do with the sense realm. But it has to do with what God said. Hallelujah. So you have to believe when you pray. And then I'm going to just add this because this is so important to that. Therefore, I say unto you, verse 25 and 26, it goes with 24. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, have mercy. Neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you. This is a whole nother teaching which we will get in as we go through the healing school, because so many people are sick because of unforgiveness, because of roots of bitterness in their heart. And those things have to be uprooted. Hallelujah. So you can receive your healing. In other words, God is a God of love, and you have to forgive and release and love the unlovely. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You must. Because he said, if you do not forgive, then your Heavenly Father cannot forgive you. See, you have to remember that when we were still in sin, God sent his Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, therefore, we have to love, just like, you know, he loved us. Of course, we know that great love we don't even understand. But he loved us so much that he sent his Son, that he poured himself into an earthen vessel to come down to the earth to live for that period of time. Hallelujah. A sinless life. Hallelujah, to take upon him all the terrible sin and sickness and disease upon his back, upon his body. They say that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, because of all that he took upon him, he was disfigured. Oh, glory to God. Because he loved us so much, he took all of that on himself so that we might have life, so that we might have it more abundantly. So therefore, we must love. Therefore, we must believe, hallelujah, God, even before we see it. That's faith. Faith believes. In fact, I'm going to read Hebrews 11:1 as we prepare to close out and open up for question and answer. Hallelujah. We're going to believe. Hebrews 11:1 says, talks about faith. So long, I'm getting over there. Hebrews 11:1. I'm almost there. Here we are. It says, now faith, this is King James, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amplified says, now faith is the assurance. See, even though you don't see it yet, but you're sure within your heart because you've hid that word in your heart. The confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. Faith is this. Faith is that. Being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction, you are convinced that you're healed. You're convinced that you're healed because God said it, not because you feel it. But you're convinced because God said it. And the conviction of their reality, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Goes back to that diligence, goes back to getting in the word, goes back to finding out what the word has to say about you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The amplified of that same verse, Hebrews 11:6, says, but without faith, it is impossible to please and to be satisfactory to him, meaning to God. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. That's the teaching for today. I'm going to open up for prayer. Hallelujah. Again, the call-in number is 213-943-3746. 213-943-3746. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.